We certainly consider it a privilege to be back here with you. We're grateful that you are here and that your interest is in the things of God, and that has brought you here together that we might worship our great God and Father in heaven. I appreciate that very much. If you'd be opening your books to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, we're going to look at some verses that have to do, as we have been speaking before, with our walk in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, he said, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be in their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Now the message of Paul, beginning in chapter 4 of Ephesians, is urging us to walk in a manner that's worthy. What we're looking at this afternoon has to do with walking worthy in marriage. The love of the husband for the wife for the husband. Leading up to this, as we said, Paul has been talking about the matter of walking worthy, or in a manner worthy, of the calling wherewith we have been called. And Paul has taught us the new identity that we have in Christ in these first three chapters here of Ephesians. And this new identity is to change how we live. We find out who we are, that is, who Christians are, who followers of Christ are, that they are beloved of the Lord, that he's provided for them that they might have an inheritance. And realizing, of course, what this inheritance is, that we are indeed not only the ones who receive an inheritance, but we are the inheritance that God gets out of this world. So we ought to live in a manner befitting those who are sons of God or children of God. So this new identity is to change how we live. In previous lessons, we learned from Paul the necessity of looking carefully how we walk and of making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So instead of wasting our time in foolish behavior and things that waste our time, like drunkenness, for example, we're to be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is seen in people who speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, people who sing and make melody in their hearts to the Lord, people who give thanks always to the Father for everything, and people who submit to each other. It's this submission that we want to talk about in this lesson. The whole of the Christian's life is one of submission, whether we realize that or not. It begins, of course, by submitting our hearts or our wills to Jesus Christ the Lord. In chapter 5 and verse 21, as we read, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So not only do we submit to the Lord, but we submit to one another. That's part of this new relationship that we have, this new creature that we are, this new identity. Now, Jesus himself exemplified that submissive life. And as we approach this series of verses that we just read and go on through chapter 6, we are noticing what our submission to the Lord and what our submission to one another is going to look like. Paul taught us this new identity that we have in Christ in those first three chapters, as we mentioned a moment ago. And this new identity is to change how we live. Now, back to verse 21. He said, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This verse tells us that we are to yield our will and our desires to each other. Now, that's very hard for a lot of people to learn how to do. But Paul is going to show us what this submission looks like in the various roles and the relationships that we have. And of course, the one that we're going to talk about in this lesson has to do with the husband and the wife. And so as we consider these relationships that are described in the text for us that we just read, we learn something very important before we even begin. First of all, we learn that God cares about our relationships. He cares about us. He cares about who we are and the fact that He has called us to walk worthy in all of these relationships. And He cares about how we act in our homes, in our marriage relationships, with our children, with the people who are around us, and especially with our relationship to each other as members of the body of Christ. So walking worthy affects the home, and the home life is not excluded in living the life of a Christian. Now, submitting to one another. Let's talk about what submitting is. This is one of those traits that we talked about being filled with the Spirit is all about. That is, we submit to each other. Now, submission is something that we do willfully. It is a willful, voluntary act on our part. We are not forcing or making each other submit. We are not telling each other to yield. We are volunteering to submit our will and our desires to each other. And that's what God wants of us. Submission is the heart of the Christian's living and the example of Christ in His life. We submit to each other. We yield to each other. And as you think about it, how few divisions would occur among God's people if we practiced this? If we learned how to submit to each other, how few divisions would there be? This is not a compromise of truth that we're dealing with here. This is a compromise of our wills. Our wills concerning each other. So, recognize the importance of what this means to our identity, to our relationship in Christ Jesus. Now, what is my motivation? Submitting to one another, why? What does he say? Out of fear and reverence for Christ. Because we are in a covenant relationship with Christ Jesus. He has taken us, as Paul has already told us, from darkness to light. And so now we're learning about yielding ourselves to each other. And submission is giving ourselves up for each other because Jesus gave Himself up for us. That's what it's all based on. Now, what Paul presents here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 and 22, is what the marriage relationship is supposed to look like. This is how it is to be, in other words. Out of our fear and our reverence for Christ, we submit to each other. It began with our submission to Him, and so out of our respect for Him, out of who He is, and out of the fact of our relationship with Him, this causes us to submit in the manner that Paul's talking about here. What Paul is doing is revealing to us a beautiful picture of marriage, and these directions are commands to the husband and to the wife to give themselves to each other. When we make love and marriage about the fulfillment of ourselves or the satisfaction of ourselves, then we lose the vision of marriage that God is trying to teach us here. God has a place. He has a place in our lives. He has a place in this relationship. And if we don't see that, if we don't recognize that, then we are destroying the relationship that we could have that is so beautiful in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're wrecking that beautiful picture of a godly marriage when we seek our own desires instead of our spouse's desires, for example. Yielding to one another is the only way that a marriage can be full of joy and be pleasing to the Lord. And people wonder today why they can't get along. Maybe they need to read what God said in the beginning. Surely the Creator knows far more than what so many people think that man knows. So, to the wives, he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. You'll notice that Paul begins with this verse, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, let's talk about this walking worthy for a moment. As we said, when we make our love and our marriage all about the fulfillment of ourselves, all about the satisfaction of our own desires, the things that we hold dear, without any consideration to our partners in life, then that marriage is just not going to be anything like what God intended it. And we are going to suffer the consequences as a result. But you know, walking worthy here of this calling in marriage, it means that wives will submit to their husbands. But this idea of submission, or the word submission, has become such an ugly word in our society in the past few years. Submission seems to conjure up in our minds today the picture of being dominated and oppressed or being made a slave of. And that's not at all the meaning of the word that we're talking about here. It's not the idea of what Paul is trying to teach. Not that at all. Now for this reason then, perhaps the word yield or submit will help us in this regard. Maybe it will help us learn what submission looks like. When we talk about being submissive, we're talking about being adaptive. We're talking about willingly placing ourselves under. That's the idea that he's speaking of here. And so, wives, I want you to consider a few things about what's being told you to do. I'm going to talk to you first. Then I'm going to talk to the husbands. Jesus is not asking you to do something that he didn't do himself. Jesus submitted his will to the Father. He yielded to the interests of the Father, and he did it willingly. Wives are choosing here in what Paul's talking about to voluntarily comply, to yield, in other words, to the leadership of the husband. Now, it's important that we note something right here. Husbands, this text is not talking to you. Paul will get to you in just a moment. The text doesn't say that you make your wife submit. The text doesn't say you overpower her some way. The scriptures do not say that you make her yield or else there are going to be consequences or punishments involved. This is her voluntary submission. This is part of this relationship. It's not the husband's forceful subjugating here. We're not talking about one so timid, on the other hand, so afraid or so meek in modern day usage that she has no courage or strength of will. That's not the kind of woman we're talking about either. We're talking about a woman who is strong in the Lord. I believe this has been misunderstood far too often. It's interesting, a friend had a man's Bible study one time and he asked the husbands if their wives always did what they asked them to do. And what do you do if they don't? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? What do you do if they don't submit? Well, what did they say? Many of them said you inflict some kind of punishment. Now, how about that? That shows you the view of a lot of people in this world. But where does the text say that? That's not what Paul's talking about here at all. If the wife is not yielding, there's nothing you can do about this in the sense of punishment. Those wives are accountable to God. She's volunteering in marriage to yield to the leadership of her husband. Now, he's supposed to provide the kind of leadership that God wants him to. But he's talking to the wives here. This is no husband enforcement policy here of this yielding. That's not what this is about at all. Now, ladies, it should be your desire to submit to your husband's will. That's what Paul's saying first. If you do not desire to follow his leadership, then you ought not to marry that fellow. That's why the marriage decision is so important and why it must not be entered into lightly. The woman is willing to put herself in a vulnerable position of yielding to the husband's leadership. Now please consider that submission and yielding does not mean that she is inferior. Was Christ inferior for yielding to the will of the Father? Certainly not at all. Yielding here shows strength and courage and godly meekness in the sense that's described for us in the Scriptures. Submission should be praised, not denigrated. That's what we learn here. Notice the motivation is given by Paul in verse 22. Wives, submit your to your husbands as to the Lord. Why? You do it out of reverence for Christ. You do it out of the respect, the reverence that you have. Now, this is your worship to the Lord. This is your service to the Lord. You're serving Christ when you yield to your husband in the manner that Paul's talking about here. And verse 23 gives us the reason why that wives are to yield. Because the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. And as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. God created this relationship where there is one head. By God's design, the husband and the wife are one flesh, so as to function together under one head. There are not to be two autonomous individuals living together and fighting for headship here in the household. Doesn't work that way. There should be no internal struggle going on here. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. God is setting up a beautiful parallel here that Paul expands upon later in this section. God is doing this for us so that we can learn what it's like to be in this kind of a relationship with one another. And that marriage relationship is to be as beautiful as the relationship that Christ has to the church. Wives are to lovingly desire to listen and to follow the leadership, the headship of the husband. And verse 24, as we read, makes the picture even clearer. So also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Nothing here is excluded in this picture of yielding. In all areas of your lives together, wives are to submit. It does not matter if you do not like how he leads. It does not matter if you are unhappy with his decisions. Please read the words again. Wives should submit in everything. There are no exceptions. We cannot be full of excuses as to why we do not want to yield to his leadership. But he doesn't love me right, or he doesn't do this, or he doesn't do that, or he doesn't treat me the way I want him to. You picked him. Maybe you should have thought about that. You picked him, by the way. So, if you think that he is so terrible, then who does that reflect on? Nobody made you marry him or her. You picked him. You picked her. In marriage, you're making a covenant to yield to his leadership. Did you know that? Did you realize that when you picked him? I dare say a lot of people in the world today don't. They don't realize that at all. They have no concept as to what a marriage is supposed to be like, unless they've been paying attention to the Scriptures, unless they've been paying attention to what God said. You are making a covenant to yield to His leadership, so choose wisely and live up to your marriage vow. That's what He's asking you to do, because you are serving the Lord in your serving here and in your submission. And by the way, this is the essence of submission. Submission means that you do not always do what you want to do. You're choosing to yield your will and your desires to the will of your husband. And that is a glorious display of godliness and love that Paul's talking about here. I hold it in very high regard such women who continue to love the Lord and love their husbands, even though their husband may be a total clod. They understand very well what the Lord wants out of them. What a display of devotion to the Lord. Those women need all the commendation. Wives, your yielding to Him is not conditional on Him doing the right thing or making the decisions that you like. Your submission is to honor and to affirm your husband's leadership and to help him carry it through. The picture of Christ here is not one of begrudging submission. You encourage His leadership. You don't undermine His leadership. And then someone says, well, what if He won't lead? Then you consider what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Be submissive, in other words, to your own husbands. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wives, you are obeying Christ when you yield to your husband, regardless of how difficult it makes it for you to do so. He makes it for you to do so. God knows your loving service to Him, and you will be rewarded by the Lord for serving the Lord as you have yielded to your husband. Walking worthy of the calling in marriage means that wives will submit to their husband. I don't know why submission has become such an ugly word. Well, I guess I do. It's because people won't listen. They won't learn. They won't grow up in Christ like He expects them to do. That's why submission has become such an ugly word. I said I wasn't going to leave you out. To the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Does that sound familiar? Wives, love your husbands the same way. Husbands, love your wives the same way. To sanctify her by cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word, so that He may present the church to Himself as glorious, not having a stain or wrinkle, a spot or a blemish, or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, walking worthy of your calling means that you will love your wives. Now think about what this kind of love looks like. Love does not simply mean having a warm feeling towards her. Love is not the passion, it's not the lust, the emotional feeling that you get. Husbands are love as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. What kind of love is that? It's sacrificial love. That's what we call it. Husbands are not told to rule over their wives. Husbands are to love as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. This kind of sacrificial love is where each one seeks the best interest spiritually for each other. Not satisfaction of physical desires here. We're talking about being right in the sight of the Lord. I think it's interesting to note here, those directions are not wives submit and husbands rule. That's not what He said, is it? Husbands, you love like Christ loved. You learn to love like Christ loved. He gave us his everything. He gave up his interests, his desires. And he did it so that we could be saved. Husbands, what about your interests? Are you willing to give up your interests and your desires for the interests and the desires of your wives? Everything husbands do is to be done for the benefit of their wives, especially in the spiritual sense, because they are heirs together of the grace of life. That's exactly how Christ loved us. He didn't do what was best for him, but he did what was best for us, which included his death. And he desired to do this. He understood the necessity, the importance of doing this. Husbands need to desire to give to their wives. Husbands need to learn to listen to their wives and to lead so that the best interests are always above him, or above his, rather. In the same way, there are not any loopholes here. You're not allowed to stop loving her because she's not yielding to your leadership. There are no exceptions again. You're not allowed to love her only so long as she's kind and not a nag. Remember that you picked her and you made a vow to God to love her, to cherish her. Remember that Christ loved when we were rebellious to his authority. Husbands must continue to love their wives in all circumstances and to seek their best interests spiritually. I want to talk about headship for just a moment. Headship is not about telling everybody else what to do. That's not headship. That's never directed to the husband to do that. You simply cannot find it. He's never told that he has this kind of a right to do this thing at all. But rather, headship is about taking responsibility for the family. Headship is understanding that husbands are the ones accountable to God for the family. When you consider Genesis 3 and the sin that occurred in the Garden of Eden, who does God call first? Come here, Adam. I need to talk to you about something. Who does God call first? Who does God look to for the answers for what happened there? You husbands are responsible for the welfare of the family in all of its areas, and most importantly, spiritually. What does he say in the next chapter, Ephesians 6? Fathers, do what? Bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Only when we're loving Christ and pursuing Christ can husbands lead their families properly. You're not the CEO of a corporation here. The more you pursue Christ, the more you love your wife rightly, and the more you lead your family in the way that God wants you to lead it. So Paul impresses this kind of an imagery upon husbands just like he did upon the wives. Now, as he continues here, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Isn't it interesting how Paul continues with this? He presses the imagery of this kind of love that husbands are supposed to have even further in these verses. Verse 29, for no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and takes care of it, just as Christ also does the church. Why? For we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Wonder where Paul got that. We hear this from the very beginning when we open our Bibles, don't we? This is important, and it's something that so many just simply overlook. Husbands are to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Husbands, as I said a moment ago, aren't told to rule over their wives. It's not wives submit and husbands rule. We have to learn that lesson. Paul presses the imagery here of the kind of love that husbands are to have even further in these two verses that we've just read. They are to love their wives as their own bodies. This means you don't hate your body, but you love it and you cherish it. You take care of it. Thus Paul quotes Genesis 2 and verse 24 in verse 31, as you'll notice. She is your body. The two of you are now one. You don't lead her in a hateful or a harsh way. You cherish her like your own body because the two of you are one now. Husbands must see the marriage relationship in this way. In other words, in the way that God wants us to see it. She's your very body and must be treated with care and love. Love her like Christ loved the church. As he continues with this beautiful picture here, you'll notice he says in verse 32 that the mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is simply an amazing declaration, isn't it? When you look at this verse, a marriage of two Christians will mirror the relationship between Christ and the church. Just think about all of the ramifications, all of the aspects of that, as to what he's saying here. And Paul sets before us the example for us to look to in our marriages. Everything in this section of text used this image for both wives and husbands so that we would know how to act properly, so that we could walk worthy of our calling in our marriages. It is so important for us to realize the greatness of what God has done here in these passages, what He has given unto us. This beautiful picture, I hope we'll consider what this will look like in our own marriage, in our godly marriages. And I hope that these are the kind of things that we will bring out. This is the kind of example we'll set before others. This is what we'll teach our family, our children, our grandchildren, bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That wives will yield their will and their desires to the will of their husband. That she will support him and yield to him. But then think about what husbands will do. Husbands will yield their will and desires to the will of the wives. He'll put her interests ahead of his own, cherishing her and caring for her ahead of himself, just as Jesus did. Both are giving themselves to each other, submission to each other. In doing this, the marriage is godly and it is beautiful. It is truly an amazing picture, isn't it? Men, women, love and submit to each other. Isn't that what Paul's saying? It does not matter if he or she deserves it. We do not deserve the love of Christ, and yet Christ loved us anyway. What is Romans 5, 8 and 9? He loved us anyway. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't love us because he liked us or we were so lovable. He didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling when he looked at the way the world was going, did he? Husbands will not hurt their wives with their words or their decisions, nor will wives their husbands. This is a working together. And husbands will show this love in how they lead the family, and it is reflected in his interest always being placed last. Wives will honor that headship and that leadership. And husbands will give everything to her and for her, just as Jesus did for us. And wives will sacrifice for their husbands. Husbands and wives, or husbands or wives, whichever, will continue to love their wife or their husband because their desire is for his or her well-being, and your desire is to be pleasing in God's sight, to please the Lord. Now think about what we've said. We do not deserve the love that Christ gave us. And yet wives love and respect their husbands. Husbands love and respect your wives. We show this love when we demonstrate as husbands how we lead our families, how it's reflected in our interests, how we put ourselves last and our wives and families first. We're simply doing what God wants us to do. The same thing applies to the wife. Wives will honor the headship that's given to the husband and help him in that role for the family. She will be his helper and his companion, and they'll work together. Wives will choose to respect their husbands in their words and their actions. And wives will show that respect in public and in private, yielding to his best interests above their own, just as Christ did for us. So when husbands love their wives like Christ loved us, and when wives submit to their husbands like Christ submitted to his Father, that marriage will be a joyful blessing given to us, a pattern forever given to us by the Lord, a pattern that we can teach our children. Each other's needs and their desires will be met by the other person when we live these words out in our daily walk. But when we make marriage about ourselves and what we get out of it individually, then this beautiful picture is destroyed, and sin rules the marriage relationship. And I think that this is the very reason why you see so much divorce, or if people even bother to get married. They've seen a lot of examples that tell them there's nothing in a marriage relationship that I want. It shouldn't be that way. And it will not be if parents will follow this kind of guideline or example that we have here in the New Testament. We are not thinking about our spouse, but we're thinking about ourselves when divorce is the result. Walk worthy of the calling that God has called you to. Not a lot of words, but a whole lot of obedience, isn't it? A whole lot of work that needs to be done in our relationship. And I speak for myself as well as for everybody. We all recognize the importance of this relationship. And we all recognize the importance of basing it upon what God has given us as his standard in these things like we've covered here this evening. So I want us to think carefully. And I want us to be thinking about those things especially that we can do in our homes with our spouses that will make this the relationship that God pictures here as being such a beautiful thing. And I want us to strive each day to pray for our relationships, that we will live in the way that God directs us to live. We may not like it at first, but as we see this relationship develop and we look at those individuals who have experienced this kind of relationship for a lot of years, you realize it is truly that wonderful thing that God has given. I appreciate your attention, and I hope that you'll be willing to apply the things that we learn from Paul here this evening in your own life, and that each one of us will make an intense effort to learn more and more about how this relationship works and what we're supposed to do and be as part of this relationship in this walk as we strive to walk worthy of our vocation. If you're here this evening and your relationship with God is not right, then what we've said may not mean a lot to you. But on the other hand, if you are a member of the body of Christ and there's something you need to correct, perhaps this is a good time for you to correct that. We want to be right with God. We want to be able to rise to meet the Lord in the air when he comes again as an individual and welcomed as good and faithful servants. When we live the way God wants us to live, that's what we'll hear. So if you're here this evening and you need to change your relationship, would you do it as we come and as we sing?